If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Let him get to you. I mean, he's stoned out of his mind. He doesn't even know what he's talking about.
That doesn't mean he's wrong. I mean, if that guy would have lived one more second, we would know where she is. Why didn't he just say the number? I should have explained myself, because then maybe 11 would have taken me with her and things would be different, but
no.
I didn't know what to say.
Sometimes I think it's just scary to open up like that, to say how you really feel, especially to people you care about the most. Because what if they don't like the truth?
Stranger danger, talking stranger things together forever. We're loving stranger things. It's stranger things forever. Rewatching season 4 from the start to the finish. It's Stranger Things forever. Every podcast we do will cover just 10 minutes. Stranger danger everywhere. I hope that you people still care. It's time for me to do it. Let's get to it. Come on, everyone.
Greetings, stranger friends, and welcome back to Stranger Things Forever, where today we will be talking about the next 10 minutes of The Nina Project, Chapter 5 of Stranger Things 4. Today we'll be talking about minutes 20 to 30, and I didn't look up Stranger Things. I didn't look up anything. I haven't checked the Stranger Things email yet. All I want to talk about is this 10 minutes of the show and get it out to you as quickly as possible. I find that maybe over the next coming weeks, there'll be more episodes like this where I just want to get right to the point and talk about the episode 10 minutes to you, because I'm on a time crunch, to be honest with you, and I feel like I'm already wasting time talking about the fact that I don't have as much time as I should have, and I honestly blame myself for dillying and dallying, dilly-dallying, just taking my time, and I'm wasting time right now, so let's not do that anymore. Let's jump right into the next 10 minutes. We left off last time with 11 in a room, and she's thinking to myself, oh my God, I'm back where everything started. You know, like, she doesn't know where she is. She knows that she went down in the elevator with Owens. She saw this giant tank that said Nina. She all of a sudden saw that son of a bee, a Brenner, and as she tried to run, she had no powers. That jerk kind of was very manipulative the way he's like, come, you know, Papa and 11, daughter and Papa. And then they inject her, they sedate her. He's like, everything's fine. You're home now. Ooh, I hated that. As much as maybe in the long run, maybe he's trying to do the right thing. Owen seems to think he's trying to do the right thing. Why else would Owens be working with him? But at the very least, the way he said that really bugged me. So she wakes up, and I'm sure it bugged her too, because she wakes up and she's like, oh my God, I'm back. I can't believe this. But things don't seem quite right, because the first thing you might notice is she opens the door to the room she's in, and it says 11 on the door. Like, there's no way in this, like, underground bunker they would have a room and like mark it 11. Like, I don't think they would do that. So you start to realize, oh no, I think she's back in Hawkins. And you start to think, oh, this probably is a dream. You know, she sees the other rooms. She sees the different numbers. She sees 4. She sees 9. Like, and she realizes, I'm back. How can this be possible? And Millie Bobby Brown, by the way, kills it here. The look on her face, the look of complete shock and distraught. And then she goes into the Rainbow Room. Now she's looking around. Everything's very familiar to her, but she's probably like, what? How am I here? What is going on here? And then she sees that orderly shows up and he's like, oh, look who finally decided to join us. And he seems very like the breadcrumbs are there. You know, we see this guy and he's like, oh, someone's sleepyhead this morning. And she says, where am I? I guess you're not fully, you know, you didn't have him woken up yet. When she says, am I in Hawkins? It just kind of flickers around him, right? Now, you could look at this and say, oh, it's because, you know, she's having some sort of vision. And these are the worst memories she could have. This orderly, for some reason, is there. Like, you don't quite know the absolute importance of this character right now. You know, even though she's indoors, it almost was like thunder and lightning, but it's just the lights flickering and all of a sudden he's behind her and saying the same thing again. Oh, look who's finally decided to join us. Someone's a sleepyhead this morning. So this is definitely some sort of memory, but here's the, like, looking back at this now, knowing what we know, the look on her, like the feeling that must be going through her is like, oh my God, this is the like evil. Now, I don't know if Eleven knows who he becomes. Maybe she does down the line, but I don't know this. I forget if she knows but never says it. I tend to think, no, I don't remember if she knows who he is. But she basically created, well, she didn't create the evil because he was already evil, but she was a big reason why it became the way it became. But her coming back now with the knowledge of who she is and the years and the experience and all the things she lived through, seeing this guy right now must be, like, we're just thinking, oh my God, she thinks she's back in the Hawkins lab. This is obviously some sort of dream. But she's looking at this guy like, it's you. Oh my God, it's you. And she bolts out of that room, runs down the hall, runs around a corner, runs down another hall, goes through another door, and ends up right back in the same place, reliving the same memory. And then we jump out of this dream. But yet, it's not a dream, is it? We know it's more of a meditated memory. It definitely has to do with the Nina Project and that Nina thing. We don't see it yet in this 10 minutes, but we see that she's being studied. And not only that, but they can see, like they can visualize what she is seeing. They're not projecting it to her. I don't think. How could they do that? No, but they are making her, no, I was going to say they're making her relive this moment. Maybe it's just she's reliving it. I wonder, I forget how they're doing this, but her blood pressure, her beats per minute, her BPM, is that what it was, is way up high. And you could see that, you know, Owens is nervous. He's like, she's rejecting it. And Brenda's like, give her time, because he doesn't give a crap. It's like good cop, bad cop. He's like, we shouldn't have her throw in like this. She'll drown. He's like, no, she'll learn to swim. She's going to swim. He's totally in. He's excited. Well, he's not hesitant about it. Owens is. But you think about everything that Eleven went through, and Owens is supposed to be the good guy, but here he is right here subjecting Eleven to this. Now, does he give her an option ever to leave? Because he did early on. He's like, well, bring you right back home. but he never told her about Brenner. He never said something. I've got to have to tell you something. Do we get a like a moment where he apologizes for putting her through this? I honestly don't remember. That's the fun part of this rewatch, is kind of reliving through this. But you could see the look on Owen's face. He's a little hesitant and he's not quite sure he likes this, but he's going along with it.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
So we jump over to our California boys. I think they're somewhere still in California in a desert. And they're at a junkyard. And it's funny because, you know, this is horrible for all of them. But Will, Mike, and Jonathan have been through some crazy stuff. And they're just kind of dealing with it. And by dealing with it, I mean they're burying the dead body of the agent that was with them. Meanwhile, Argyle is freaking out. He's like, this is so messed up. This is so messed up, man. This dude's got, you know, like a family, kids, you know, like he's completely freaked out. He's like, we got to go to the cops. We got to lay it all on them. The superpowered girlfriend, the bad government dudes. Like, he's completely panicking. What does he say? Oh, he must know everything now. Upside down dimension thing. He's like, listen, government dudes are after your girlfriend, right? Like, he puts it in Mike's head that they're going to get her and they're going to kill her and then they're going to kill us if we don't go to the cops. And Jonathan finally is like, dude, you got to calm down. And what does he do? He tells the pothead, why don't we go in the other room, in the car, and smoke a little ganja, smoke a little weed, smoke a little reefer. I don't know what to call it. I am completely square when it comes to that. Literally have never tried it in my entire life. I have a friend who swears by gummies to help him relax. And he keeps telling me he's going to spike my, like, something. Like, he's going to force feed a gummy. I mean, he won't. He wants to, but he won't. And I just never tried it. I got to a point where I thought, oh, do I want to try it? And then I got to a point where I was like, maybe I'll never try it and kind of be that guy who's like, oh, never done it and don't really care. But I know it helps a lot of people. And right now, Jonathan knows it's going to help Argyle. And Will's like, do you really think more weed is like what you want to do right now? And he's like, do you have a better idea? He's like, yeah, man. So he just goes and smokes his purple something or other, whatever it was, and just needs to take the edge off. So we cut to the Mike and Will. Now they're kind of, they're done burying the body, and they're just kind of chilling on one of these cars in this old, I don't know if it's a junkyard or a car graveyard. I don't know what it is. But you could see that Argyle said something that got to Mike, like the way that they're going to kill her. And he's like, don't listen to him. He's just a paranoid guy. He's freaking out and he's high. You don't need to worry about it. And Mike's like, yeah, but like if that guy lived for one more second, he would have told us where he is. He's like, why didn't he just say the number? And he's like, I should have been different. I should have told 11 how I said, you know, how I felt. I didn't know what to say. And he keeps thinking like, if I did something different, you know, none of this would have happened. And then Will, you know, says, you know, sometimes it's just scary to open up like that, you know, because he didn't know what to say. He didn't know how to say how he loves her. And Will says, sometimes it's scary and sometimes to say how you really feel, you know, especially to the people you care the most about. Like, what if they don't like the truth? And Mike's taking it as his best buddy, telling him how, you know, some people just, you might have just been afraid to say it. But you see that lingering look from Will looking at Mike, and you know he's telling him good advice, but he's also basically trying to, like, almost get across how he feels. I mean, that seems to be the case here. It's never out and out said, and it almost doesn't have to be because the acting is so good. So their little talk, their little time together gets broken up because Argyle now wants to make a headstone out of a piece of paper, out of a pizza box, I should say. And he wants to write the guy's, does anyone know his name? And Jonathan's like, you know, we've been trying for the better part of, you know, an hour to hide the body. And now Argyle wants to write, here lies unknown hero, ancient man. He wants to sign all their names to it. They're like, are you crazy? But the weird thing is the pen doesn't work. And Mike figures out, he's like, wait, like, why would he gave me his pen? Like, why he gave the unknown hero man gave me his pen before I die. Why would he give me a pen that doesn't work? And then he runs over, he takes the pen right out of Argyle's hand, opens it up, and inside there's a piece of paper, and he unrolls it, and there is the number 202-968-6161. And I'm sorry, but if you put a phone number in a movie or a television show and it's not a 555 number, you are begging people to call it. So, of course, I did. This is all you get the entire time. It's just almost like it's a phone bank or a phone connected to something. You hear phone, you hear typing and phones ringing. You don't hear any voices. You hear like a little doom every so often. I thought maybe you'd get a modem connection, but all you seem to get is this, which I'm guessing is their way of showing this is a data connection, perhaps. I don't know. Someone's typing. It seems to do that for the better part of a minute, and then maybe just reloops, because I waited for a little while, nothing else there. But I do love that, you know, 3 years later, and that phone number is still active. They realize that number is going to be on Netflix forever. They better make sure that recording works forever. I don't know if, you know, 2 years from now, 3 years from now, I can call and talk to David Hasselhoff, Alf, and Paula Abdul, but I'm pretty sure I can call Surfer Boy Pizza and call this number that was hidden in the pen of the agent. So now we jump back to Russia. And remember, in that yard, we saw a mace. Did I mention the mace was covered in blood? We saw doors, you know, hiding something. And now we see some of these guards, some of the lower, the schlub guards, they're mopping up blood and they're getting yelled at to pick up hands. There's a hand over there. What are we, animals? So there's definitely some craziness happening in those, some horrific things happening in those grounds. Antonov calls one of that guard over, the one who was yelling at the younger guard. And he's like, listen, we can get some help here. You want to make a lot of money? This American, he comes from money. He comes from old money, okay? He's basically trying to bribe this guy and lie to him, you know, saying that he tells him he can make him rich. And the guy's like, he goes to walk away, but he hears that. He's like, well, what do you mean? And Hopper is like, I can, he says Hopper comes from money, old money, and Hopper doesn't say a thing. He's like, and the guy just walks off, and you can see Antonov is like, what the hell? You're supposed to be helping me out here. Hopper is just done. He's like, we're going to die here. And Hopper almost feels like he, like, is predestined to die here. And Antonov tries to get through him. He's like, what about your American woman? You know, she's captured, but she's still alive. We could still save her. And you could see, like, that Hopper finds that absurd. Like, you think we can save her? And he almost smiles about it. And, you know, Antonov's like, is that funny? He's like, you don't get it. Do you? The closer I get to Joyce, you know, the more danger she's in. like he almost thinks he's cursed. And, you know, he talks about, I mean, obviously we know what happened to his daughter, how she, you know, what did she get, cancer? And you could see he blames himself. He starts talking about signing up to go to Vietnam and fighting in Vietnam and, you know, dealing with chemicals, cleaning chemicals, and, you know, no masks, no nothing. Didn't he say some of it was for like, or working with like mixing up Agent Orange, all these things they didn't know about. They were told it was okay. They were told it's harmless. Oh, that is it. See, I told you this is a little bit of a shorter one, right to the point. And we kind of end with Hopper opening up more about, you know, more than he ever has before about, you know, things he did or things that he thinks might have caused some things here when he was over in Vietnam. I'm sure there's more of that at the beginning of next time, but really this 10 minutes is dedicated. Well, not dedicated. It is. We go to three different places. We're with Eleven, we're with the boys, and we're in Russia. Eleven, the big thing we find out is she is in some sort of manipulated memory vision, and Owens and Brenner are kind of controlling it as much as they can. They're forcing it. Maybe not forcing it. Maybe she decided to do it. But it has something to do with that tank. And we'll probably learn more about that soon. But she's reliving her time in the Hawkins laboratory. And something's up with that orderly. I wonder what. We then see the boys bury that poor, poor guard. It shouldn't be funny, but it's kind of funny seeing his arm just kind of flopped over in the sand. And, you know, Mike's all worried. Argyle's freaking out. Mike's all worried. He wish he said something if he only had one more second, you know, but he wish he said something to her. And Will, you know, tries to clear things up, not clear things up, but try to put things in perspective. Sometimes it's hard to tell people how you feel. And he gives them that look. And I think you know what that means. I think he's basically saying, I wish I could tell you how I feel. But what we do find out is Argyle is trying to write with a pen that doesn't work. Why would the guy give a pen that doesn't work? And Mike goes over, rips open the pen, finds that number, which we called, and nothing much happened. But hopefully that number works a lot better for these guys. And the last thing we see is Hopper hopeless in prison. He feels like he's lost his fight. Like he put everything into that escape and it didn't work. And now he's about as low as he can be. But hope is not lost. Feels like it is right now, but it is not there yet. And that's it. How about that? I like this. Just right to the point. Exciting. I wrote down like 5 bullet points, but then I went and scrubbed through these 10 minutes in the background. So I'm like, oh, this is what happens. This is what happens. I have the subtitles on so I can remember certain things they're saying. It works almost as good as notes. And it allows me to kind of not just look at my notes, but actually see the looks on their faces and relive the moments. I think that's important too. So nothing major happens in this 10 minutes. I think the biggest thing is the phone number and Eleven, what she's doing at the Nina Project, what she's reliving. But it's almost like we're getting set up for big things to come. And big things, they do be a-coming. But that's next time. Until then, my friends, you can find me on all the social media at Geek Mentality, except TikTok, which is Geek Mentality Mike. The Facebook page is Fans.Experts. The YouTube channel is Fans.Experts. That's because all my podcasts can be found at fansnotexperts.com. But you can go directly to Stranger Danger by visiting strangerdangerpodcast.com. And if you are on Blue Sky, follow strangerdangerpodcast.com. That's it. I'm done. Hopefully I'll look through my email next time and talk about that soon. But until then, thank you for listening. Thank you for subscribing. Thank you for subscribing. And remember to stay stranger, my friends. And also keep in mind that there are people like you and people like me, the fans all over the world. We are the ones that keep Stranger Things alive forever!
Fans, not experts.